Lord, may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm Keith Pizzuto. The easy way to remember the last name is think of Phil Rizzuto from the Money Store, you know? I wish I was Phil Rizzuto, by the way. But I'm not. Keith Pizzuto. It's Rizzuto with a P. So there you go. I am the campus missioner for the Episcopal Student Center. And, you know, we're serving the students of Baylor, MCC, and Texas State Technical College. And I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you to St. Paul's. Thank you to you all who've supported this ministry for many years and who have made this ministry possible. Thank you for the generosity of, you know, cutting the grass. Thank you for the generosity of bringing warm meals to the students. Thank you for the hours that you've spent cleaning places and making it possible. I really want to say thank you. Know this, I am the first full-time campus missioner for Baylor. So, you know, we're joining, thank you. We're joining A&M and Texas, UT, and Rice, and the University of Houston with full-time missioners. So I am the fifth full-time minister, a missioner in the Diocese of Texas. So this is very exciting, and it's good news, and I'm looking forward to see what God has for us. And by the way, this is the busy week because the students are showing up, so we're getting ready. I wanted to talk to you all today about the gospel lesson. There was a man who awoke one morning. You know those old water beds? You know those ones that used to be like one single membrane, you know, that weighed 3,000 pounds that put a hole in your foundation of your house? Yeah, that kind of water bed. So he bought one. And in the middle of the night, he wakes up and, there's a hole. And he finds himself just drenched in water, and he's so upset. So he goes out in the morning, he fills the thing up, and he's trying to look to see where the hole is so he can patch it. But what he forgot about was this thing called gravity. He lived on a hill. And this thing just took off, started rolling down the hill, and he's holding on to it, white-knuckling this thing, trying to get it to stop. And it did. It did finally stop in a rose bush. So he said, I'm done. I'm done with this, this fancy waterbed. I'm going back to a standard mattress. And he goes back, and he purchases the mattress, sets it up. The next night, he's sleeping, just enjoying it. And all of a sudden, he wakes up, and he realizes, there's water. And don't worry, it's not what you're thinking it is. Actually, what it is the ceiling above him. He looks up and he sees, oh no, the upstairs bathroom's leaking. Do you ever find that sometimes in life, you know, the thing that you think is the problem isn't? You ever realize that life is just truly hard? When you think you've made a decision, I call it pizzoodling something. It's when I go to Home Depot. Many of you have experienced this. I think I can solve the problem, right? And I go, and that first trip to Home Depot is one. It usually takes about six. You know what I mean? To finally accomplish the goal. So that's where we begin the story, right? The story really begins with Jesus saying to the crowds, go home. Remember, they just get done feeding the 5,000. This massive group of people, all of this pastoral energy, right, that's been expounded. The disciples are exhausted. Jesus himself is utterly exhausted. And he says to the guys, hey guys, just get in the boat and go to the other side. I have to have some quiet time. I have to have some alone time. So he goes and he goes up into the mountain. And he's talking to his Father in heaven. And all is well for Jesus, but you see those clouds on the horizon. That storm is brewing. And down below him, there's a mess. There's winds, there's storms, there's rain, there's lightning, and life is a wreck. Have you ever just been beaten by life? Beaten. It is just exhausting. The exhaustion of maybe the people that you live with. No one likes to say that out loud. Maybe it's the exhaustion of work. We all have that boss. You know that boss. Y'all got one. Oh, he's here, you know? Or it's just the exhaustion of the sheer volume. You just have to get these things done. And it builds and it builds and it builds. And eventually it's overcoming. And you just want some peace. You just want some quiet. You just need a week off. But that's not how life works, is it? In the middle of the struggle, Jesus watches them struggle. Jesus knows there's a storm. He understands they are getting battered from all sides. And you know what he does? He watches. And right now we're thinking to ourselves, well, isn't he like supposed to be the compassionate one? You know what I mean? Isn't Jesus like always the one that's like just Johnny on the spot, you know? Like taking care of problems, making things calm. But when we read the Bible, and especially when we read, you know, the Gospel of Matthew, what we realize is that Jesus only shows up after everything has gone just horribly. He waits for it to go horrible. Why? Why does he always wait? Why does he always take too long? You know? Have you ever noticed, I like to make the analogy, it's like God always likes to get you out at home plate right when you're about to sked in. You know? It's like you're cruising around third. He could have got you out at first. He could have got you out at second. He could have got you out at third. But you're running, you're thinking, you're making it the whole way. And then right when you're about to touch the plate, tap. It's the way of God. Just that last second. Well, when I was in third grade, I had a wonderful teacher. Her name was Mrs. Tiger. And Mrs. Tiger, the entire year, we learned our times tables. Now, I'm sure that's probably not the case, by the way, but that's how I remember it. I remember the times table taking an entire year of my life. From one times one to 12 times 12, flashcards, just nonstop. Flashcards and bribery, that's what it was like, you know what I mean? If you could just get 6 times 7, you could figure that out. I'll give you candy, whatever it takes. So I'm there, and I remember to this day, she used to always say this, we go, oh, come on, Mrs. Tiger. We could use a calculator. And she'd go, nothing is learned the easy way. Nothing in life will ever be learned the easy way. And I wish she was wrong. I pray all the time that Mrs. Tiger would have been wrong. But she's not. Nothing in life is learned easily. So here we are with the disciples in a boat. Stuck. Fighting an uphill wind, right? Pushing against everything, trying to accomplish their will, right? Trying to accomplish their will against the wind. How often has your willpower been enough to accomplish something? Or how often is it the more you try to control something, the more you try to fight through it, the more it just beats you back? That's just something to think about. Well, they're fighting. And right when it's about time for them to stop fighting, Jesus shows up. And he shows up, and he shows up in a way that we kind of all want him to show up. He's walking on water, you know? If Jesus is ever going to, like, appear to me, I don't want him to, like, just show up, like, you know, like, standing there. I want him to do something awesome, you know? I want him to walk on water and come up to me. Or I want him to, like, do something cool. Definitely walk through some doors that are closed. I mean, something cool, you know? And here he is. He's walking on water, and they lose it. The disciples lose it. It's a ghost. Ever notice ghosts aren't like Casper the friendly kind either? Do you ever notice that? Like in Scripture, angels aren't Casper the friendly, you know? Angels aren't like beautiful, like, ooh, look at that charming angel, you know? That's not how it works in the Bible. Angels are scary dudes, and ghosts are to be frightened of. And he walks up, and they don't know what to do with him. And the real miracle of the story is not that Jesus walks up to them. That's easy for him. He's the Lord of all creation. The real miracle of the story is this. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter steps out of the boat. I don't know about you, the last thing I'm ever going to do in a storm is get out of a boat. I've watched way too many movies of people that jump into the sea. You know what I mean? We all have seen Dunkirk recently. You know what happens when you jump in the ocean. Don't do it. You know what I mean? It's always going to end up bad. I've seen Titanic like 15 times. You know what I mean? Well, I know what happens to those people. You know? So don't jump in the water. But what does Peter do? He's like, well, he's out there. Steps on in. He steps in. How often the ministry of the church is stepping out of the nave, stepping out of the boat. We got to get out of the boat. We can't just always be in the boat. It might be safe and it might be wonderful. It's why we call it a sanctuary. But it's just a place for us to gather. It's not a place for us to do ministry. Peter knew that. He got out of the boat. And he sunk. Oh, well. You know? Like, by the way, does anyone read this story and think like he should have kept walking? You know what I mean? That doesn't come across to me like that. Of course he's going to sink. Hello? He's on water. The fact that he made like two steps is pretty stinking awesome. You know? But he sinks. You know what you're going to do? You know what I do every day? I sink. I'm used to it, actually. I do a lot of sinking. You know? You know what Jesus does every time? Reaches out his hand, he grabs me, and he pulls me up. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the lover of our souls. He's the one that rescues us. Every day. Every moment that we step out of the boat. Every moment that we think we can get accomplished something. Every moment that we think that we've got the ability to do what he does. We don't. But he can. We don't have the energy. We don't have the willpower. We don't have the ability to walk on water, but he does. He has the ability to rescue us from all sorts of silly stuff. He does it every day. So be rescued. Be rescued by Jesus. Reach out your hand. Cry out for help, because he's only going to come in the last second. You know that. Whether it's the paycheck that ran out a little early, you know, whether it's the family that's fallen apart, whatever it is, it in the midst of all the pain, he's always there. And it just seems a little too late. It always seems a little after the fact. But then he reaches out his hand, he grabs us, and we're safe. We're in his arms. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.